This is Audible.
Dirty Sexy Cuffed. Written by Carly Phillips and Erica Wilde. Narrated by Sophie Eastlake. Chapter 1. So, what'll it be for dinner? Chicken or beef ramen? Sarah Robbins considered both of the styrofoam cups of noodles she held in her hands, her last two choices for a decent meal before she headed out to work for the night. Thank God tomorrow was payday, so she could make a trip to Walmart and stock up on her staples: ramen, oatmeal, bread, peanut butter and jelly, fruit, and bottled water. Those were the basics she lived on. After she paid her by-the-week motel bill, she was left with around $50 for all her other expenses, including groceries and toiletries. She'd spent the past 5 weeks budgeting her money very carefully, while also trying to save whatever was left after purchasing only the necessities she needed to get by on. Working 25 hours a week for minimum wage at a convenience store and gas station wasn't ideal. Neither were her swing shift hours that meant she didn't get off until midnight. But for now, it was a desperately needed job, and she'd do whatever it took to get back on her feet so she could finally leave the city that had brought her nothing but heartache. Exhaling a deep breath and refusing to dwell on the painful memories of the past, Sarah decided on the chicken ramen. After opening a bottle of water, she filled a ceramic mug and put it into the small, compact microwave she'd bought at a second-hand store. A minute and a half later, she poured the boiling hot water into the ramen and closed the lid to let it steam while she finished getting ready for work. She pulled on a pair of well-worn jeans, a plain t-shirt, and sneakers. Makeup was a luxury she couldn't afford, so she washed and moisturized her face, then put her hair into a ponytail. Her stomach growled hungrily, and she picked up her soup and sat down on the bed to eat. Her motel room was small, with just a queen-sized bed, dresser, closet, and bathroom, but it was all she needed for now. And even if the Sleepy Time Motel catered to a less-than-savory clientele who tended to pay for a room by the hour, it was better than the nights she'd spent at the homeless shelter or on the streets. She was grateful she had a place to lay her head every night, with a door that securely locked and bolted, until she was ready to move on. Her end goal was to make a new life for herself any place other than Chicago. She needed to leave here, and soon, because it was just a matter of time before her possessive ex-boyfriend, Dylan, found her. And there was no doubt in Sarah's mind that he was looking for her. It was hard to forget how he'd threatened to come after her if she ever left him, or if she escaped the cult-like compound where they'd lived for nearly 3 weeks. A shiver stole through her when she thought about where exactly her life had been headed, and what she'd been expected to do while living in the gated community. She considered herself lucky she'd managed to get out with just the clothes on her back and a little over $50 in her pocket, but she was now considered a deserter. A punishable offense according to the rules of the sacrosanct community, which was why she was keeping a low profile and saving everything she could to start over somewhere far away. This time, she was determined to get it right, to be strong and independent without relying on a man for anything. She was finished letting her insecurities rule her emotions, and she was done getting involved with the kind of guys who were only out for themselves and ended up using her for their own purposes, like the situation with Dylan that she'd narrowly escaped. The future was all about finally putting the past and her bad choices behind her, and she was looking forward to a clean slate. Finished with her meal, Sarah glanced at the clock on the dresser. The bus would be at her stop in 20 minutes, so she headed out the door and into the early evening dusk. The motel's parking lot was already alive with activity for a Tuesday night, and Sarah did her best to hold her head up high without making any eye contact with the sleazy men who were there to either score drugs or a prostitute. She was thankful the bus stop was less than a block down the road, but that didn't stop her from clutching her compact-size mace in her hand. Once she was settled on the bus, she relaxed a bit, though she was always keenly aware of her surroundings, especially in this area. She honestly couldn't wait until she could leave this town and her job at Circle K, and she reminded herself that every day at work brought her that much closer to leaving it all behind. There was one thing she'd miss once she moved on, though, or rather, one particular person, she thought with a private smile, and that was Levi Kincaid, the gorgeous, hot cop with light green eyes that made her think of the sea glass she'd used to find at the beach when she was a young girl, before she'd lost her entire family to a house fire. Another painful part of her past she didn't like to dwell on. She much preferred thinking about Levi. Over the past 5 weeks, he'd made a habit of stopping at the convenience store around 11:30 at night with his partner, right before his shift ended, to get a drink and late-night snack for the ride back to the station, or so he claimed. But considering his flirty comments and his blatant interest, she suspected it was all an excuse to see her. He'd even asked her out a few times, but as attracted as she was, and as tempted as he made her feel, she knew the timing was all wrong, and she'd turned him down every single time. His attention was flattering, especially since she wasn't one of those beautiful, confident girls who typically turned a man's head, at least not a man as devastatingly sexy as Levi. She was plain and ordinary and certainly nothing special, but for the handful of minutes that Levi spent in the store, charming her with his smile and words, she imagined that she was someone special. Levi Kincaid was the best part of her night, the one exciting thing she had to look forward to, and she was going to miss him when she was gone.
When are you going to face the fact that this chick just isn't into you?
Levi Kincaid glanced across the dark interior of the unmarked SUV to his partner, Nick Catalano, who was alternating his attention between navigating the road and making sure Levi saw his smart-ass smirk. It wasn't the first time his friend had given Levi shit about his request to stop by Circle K on their way back to the station after their shift ended. For the past 2 months, they'd been assigned to the DUI strike force in the area, which made stopping by the Mart convenient. Seeing and flirting with Sarah Robbins was just a bonus.
She's totally into me, so that's not the issue,
Levi refuted confidently, not at all bothered by Nick's ribbing. There were many times he'd caught the tempting way Sarah looked at him when she didn't think he was aware of her, and there was no mistaking the attraction between them she was so determined to fight. He just hadn't figured out why yet, but he would.
Then what's the problem?
Nick persisted. This from a man who was all about instant gratification when it came to women, while Levi was more selective.
I'm not sure yet,
he replied honestly. Truthfully, he was having a hell of a time getting past that wariness of hers, which only made him more curious about who Sarah Robbins was and where she'd come from. Admittedly, his interest in her had nothing to do with him being an inquisitive cop and everything to do with him wanting her in a deeper way than any female had gotten to him before. He just had to get her on the same page as him. Levi wasn't normally the type of guy who'd continue to pursue a woman who'd already turned him down half a dozen times. A smart man would have cut his losses after the first rejection, but from the moment he'd looked into Sarah's sweet, soulful blue eyes, he'd felt a connection that only seemed to grow stronger every time he saw her. And he certainly didn't miss the irony of that realization when he was a man adept at maintaining strict control of his emotions in all aspects of his life.
This is a shit part of town,
Nick said, stating the obvious, which brought Levi's thoughts back to the present.
As soon as we're off this DUI task force, I don't want to drive through this part of Inglewood unless it's for a call, so close the deal with Sarah already. Winning a woman over takes time, Catalano,
Levi said easily, especially one as wary as Sarah.
Though that's something I wouldn't expect you to understand.
Hell no,
he agreed with a quick player's grin.
That's too much fucking work, when there are plenty of women who take one look at this uniform and are instantly willing and eager to bend over and drop their panties. Trust me, getting laid, and regularly, is not an issue for me.
Levi had plenty of offers. He was just more particular about his bed partners. He didn't do one-night stands, but he didn't do long-term committed either. The few women he'd dated and allowed into his private life were looking for the same thing he was, a mutually satisfying physical relationship without any emotional involvement. More importantly, they were willing to let him be in control during all aspects of sex. And Sarah, from everything he'd learned so far, didn't strike him as the type looking for long-term either, which made his pursuit easier for him to justify and live with. Arriving at the Circle K, Nick turned the SUV into the deserted lot. He drove past the gas station area and stopped in front of the convenience store instead of parking the vehicle.
"I noticed the back tire was low at the DUI checkpoint,"
Nick said, explaining why he hadn't pulled into one of the many empty spaces in front of the mart like he normally did.
"While you run inside and do your thing, I'm going to drive around back and fill the tire up with air. I'll meet you out front when you're done."
"Sounds good."
Levi released his seatbelt and opened the door.
"You want anything?"
Nick grinned.
"Yeah, I'll take a root beer and a Snickers bar."
"You got it."
Levi hopped out of the truck, and while his partner drove off and disappeared behind the building, he headed toward the store. Out of years of habit, he glanced around the area, looking for anything or anyone who might be out of place, especially in this part of town. But it was a quiet evening, and there weren't any other cars or people around, which wasn't unusual for a late Tuesday night. He walked into the store, and to his immediate left was the main counter and two registers. Sarah was sitting on a stool reading a magazine, and as soon as she heard someone enter, she looked up. Her bored expression immediately transformed to one of pleasure as a genuine, happy-to-see-him smile curved her soft, lush mouth, which never failed to make him think about slowly licking his tongue across that full lower lip before kissing her, or how that mouth would feel sliding down the length of his cock as she looked up at him from a kneeling position on the floor at his feet. Heat and desire mingled in his belly, and lower, as he strolled toward the counter. Yeah, he'd stored up 5 long weeks' worth of the hottest, most sinful fantasies of Sarah in some of the most erotic scenarios he could manage. Those dirty thoughts had come in handy when he'd lain in bed, hard and aching and needing relief. With his hand wrapped tight around his dick, those decadent visions playing through his mind never failed to alleviate his lust. But the relief was always temporary. He wanted the real thing. He wanted Sarah, her body soft and warm beneath his, and her willing to give herself over to him in all the ways he desired. And that kind of trust took time and patience, both of which he had in abundance. Setting the magazine aside, she moved off her chair and stood on the opposite side of the counter from him. She was wearing a plain t-shirt and worn jeans, and it wasn't the first time that he had the thought that her body was almost too slender for her frame, which made him want to cook her a carb-loaded meal just to watch her eat and put on a few extra pounds to fill out her curves. With her light brown hair pulled into a ponytail, he'd never seen it any other way, her delicate features were more prominent, her eyes bigger and bluer. She wasn't one of those gorgeous, made-up women, but that was more Nick's type than his. Rather, she was pretty in a way that was all natural, her complexion soft and smooth with a hint of pink from the light blush sweeping across her cheeks. She absently ran her tongue along her bottom lip, her clear, sky-blue eyes taking in his appearance just as openly.
"Good evening, Officer Kincaid."
Officer Kincaid. He liked the way that sounded in her soft, husky tone. His dick liked it too, and he suddenly wanted to hear that breathless voice in a much more intimate setting, like his bedroom, preferably with her naked, restrained, and begging him for what she wanted and needed. Another surge of awareness hummed through his body, and he wiped those sexy thoughts from his mind before they got him in trouble.
"Hi, Sarah,"
he said, smiling at her.
"How are things tonight?"
"Quiet and slow," she replied with a small shrug. "You're the first customer I've had in the past hour."
"Where's Robbie?"
he asked as he casually glanced around the front end of the store for the guy who usually worked the night shift with her.
Knowing that she wasn't completely alone and vulnerable to any asshole who might come into the store had always made Levi feel marginally better. She shifted on her feet.
He went home about a half hour ago. He wasn't feeling well and said he felt like he was coming down with the flu. The last thing I need is to catch whatever he's got, so I told him to leave.
The crime rate in this lower-income part of the city was significant, with late-night marts being a prime source of robberies. He frowned at her, his protective instincts automatically rising, though they felt a hell of a lot stronger when it came to her safety than just a cop's concern.
So you're here all by yourself?
Yes, she said with an amused laugh.
When he crossed his arms over his chest and didn't crack a smile, she realized how serious he was about the situation.
It's really not a big deal, Levi, she rushed to assure him. There's only 20 minutes left until graveyard shift comes in and relieves me and I can go home. I'm not going to be here by myself for much longer, and it's not like we have a mad rush of customers tonight.
That wasn't the point, but Levi let the issue go, considering her co-workers would be there soon enough. Instead, he leaned a hip against the counter and moved on to a different and more personal topic, the one that usually ended with a rejection. It was a good thing he didn't have a fragile ego.
So, any plans for the coming weekend?
He asked as he casually hooked his thumbs into the utility belt around his waist.
Saturday, specifically?
The corner of her mouth quirked slightly at his indirect way of asking her out.
Just working?
He tipped his head curiously.
No days off?
She hesitated for a moment before responding.
I do have Sunday off, but that's my day to do stuff.
Stuff, which sounded like an excuse to him.
What about fun?
He countered easily.
Ever take time for that?
It's been a while,
she admitted softly. He didn't miss the quick flicker of sadness in her gaze that made him want to reach out and touch her, to use his thumb to smooth away the crease that had formed between her brows. Resisting the urge took more effort than he'd expected.
Then how about you say yes to a date with me, and I'll remedy that for you. I'm all about having a good time with a pretty girl,
he added with a wink. She opened her mouth to speak, and certain a denial was about to spill out, he quickly held up a hand to stop her.
Wait, don't say anything.
She pressed her lips back together, and even though her gaze was wary, he continued on while he still had a bit of leverage.
I want you to really think about your answer this time, instead of automatically turning me down, because one more rejection might just crush me.
Light laughter escaped her.
I truly doubt that.
He leaned across the counter so he was a bit closer.
But do you really want to take that chance?
He teased. He'd meant to make her laugh again so that she'd lower her guard a little more. But instead, her doubtful gaze searched his expression, looking for answers he didn't know the questions to until she finally asked.
Why me?
The uncertainty in her voice caught him by surprise, but his response was immediate and sincere.
Why not you?
Because girls like me.
She shook her head and glanced away, but not before he saw the pained look in her eyes.
Never mind.
He wasn't going to let her off so easy, not with a statement like that.
Girls like you, what?
He persisted. She released an exasperated sigh and met his gaze again.
I just think you and I come from different worlds, or opposite sides of the city, as the case may be.
He arched a brow.
And you're basing that assumption on what exactly? Me being a cop?
Yes,
she replied with a nod. Little did she know, the respectable image he presented to the public as a police officer hid a wealth of deep, dark secrets, along with a past that was grim and twisted and would undoubtedly horrify her if she knew the truth. It was those memories that reminded him much too often which side of the city he'd grown up in, the shitty, hellish side where he and his brothers had struggled every single day to survive. But he didn't tell her any of that because it didn't matter in the scheme of wanting a date with her. Instead, he flashed her a persuasive smile.
Sweetheart, there's a whole lot more to me than just this uniform and my good looks,
he teased,
But the only way you're going to find out who I am out of this uniform is to say yes.
And yeah, he'd deliberately given that comment a double meaning she clearly didn't miss.
So, just think about that for a few minutes, and when I come back, hopefully you'll give me a different answer.
He pushed away from the counter and walked down one of the snack aisles, but instead of getting Nick's Snickers bar and their drinks from the cooler, Levi headed toward the back of the store to use the men's restroom first. He took care of business, washed his hands, and just as he was drying them with a paper towel, he heard a loud male voice yelling from somewhere in the store. Immediately concerned, he slipped from the restroom and moved silently down the hallway to assess the situation. He glanced around the corner and felt his stomach lurch when he saw a tall, lanky man in his mid-20s up by the front counter with a gun pointed directly at Sarah as she opened the cash register, the terror on her face nearly gutting Levi. Jesus fucking Christ. With only seconds to make a decision, he moved back into the hallway and used his shoulder mic to report a 1031, robbery in progress, to Nick and dispatch, then turned off the radio so the suspect wouldn't hear any response. Retrieving his gun from his holster, he ducked below the shelving to keep his presence concealed. Then, slowly, he moved toward the front of the store so he had a better vantage point before confronting the man. His heart pumped hard and fast in his chest, along with a rush of adrenaline, and all he could think about was Sarah and making sure she got out of this situation safely.
"All the money now, bitch!"
the guy screamed like a crazed person hopped up on drugs.
"You're going way too fucking slow, and if you don't hurry up, I'm going to blow your fucking head off."
He heard Sarah make a soft sound of distress, and knowing he at least had the element of surprise on his side, Levi stepped out into the open, gun raised, and pointed it at the man's chest.
"Police, drop your gun!"
The suspect immediately turned at the sound of his voice, the weapon he was holding now aiming straight at Levi. The man's hand moved slightly, and without hesitating, Levi pulled his trigger just as the perp opened fire and two individual shots rang out. The impact of the bullet striking Levi's body armor hurt like a motherfucker and forced him back a step. Somehow, he managed to catch himself before he fell on his ass. The other man wasn't as fortunate. Levi's shot nailed the guy in his right shoulder, causing him to drop his gun as he screamed in pain. Still reeling from the hit, Levi nevertheless moved to take the robber down, but Nick came barreling through the doors and beat him to it. Within seconds, his partner had the suspect face down on the ground and was securing him in cuffs, which gave Levi a moment to catch his breath, considering he felt as though he'd been hit in the rib cage by a baseball bat.
"Oh my God, Levi!"
Sarah rushed around the front counter, her face pale and her eyes wide with fear as she reached him.
"He shot you! Are you okay?"
He secured his weapon in his holster and glanced down at the gaping hole in his ballistic vest and the slug buried in the Kevlar fibers.
"Jesus,"
he muttered, shocked by the realization that, yeah, he'd been shot, which was quickly followed by gratitude for the armor that had most likely saved his life.
"I'll be okay,"
he said as he looked Sarah over thoroughly to make sure she wasn't injured in any way.
"Did he hurt you at all?"
"No, I'm fine,"
she assured him, her quivering voice not as confident as her words.
"Just shaken up."
His first instinct was to take care of Sarah, to get her out of this fucking convenience store that she shouldn't be working at in the first place, but he didn't have that luxury. He now had a crime scene to process, and knowing that Sarah was okay, his job was a priority.
"I know that was scary as hell, but I need you to stay behind the counter while we arrest the suspect and collect evidence,"
he told her as he heard Nick calling for EMT assistance on his shoulder mic.
"And don't touch anything, okay?"
She nodded in understanding and did as Levi asked, giving him the ability to focus on the situation at hand. Within minutes, backup arrived, and the store was filled with police activity. The suspect was read his rights and taken out to one of the ambulances that had arrived to transport him to the hospital for treatment. Afterwards, he'd be taken to jail. Levi started the paperwork part of the investigation.
"Hey, Iron Man, in case it escaped your notice, you were shot,"
his partner said gruffly.
Despite the vest, you need to have the paramedics take a look and make sure you're okay. I'm good.
He lied, deliberately ignoring the throbbing pain in his left side whenever he inhaled a deep breath.
I can still see the back end of the bullet, so I'm not dealing with an open wound.
Besides, the sooner they wrapped up the crime scene and investigation, the sooner he could get Sarah out of here, since the two employees who worked the graveyard shift at the convenience mart had arrived.
Let's get this done, and then I'll have the EMT check it out.
While Levi handled the crime scene and log, collected and recorded evidence, and had one of the other employees give him a copy of the surveillance video, Nick interviewed Sarah and wrote down her statement. An hour later, all the paperwork was complete, the area cleaned up, and Sarah was still exactly where Levi had told her to stay, sitting on the stool behind the front counter. Levi walked around the counter. As he approached, he realized how exhausted she looked, and again he experienced that inexplicable urge to take care of her, because she just looked so damn vulnerable after being held up at gunpoint. All his life he'd been surrounded by some form of violence, from childhood to the military to being in law enforcement, and a part of him was immune to most of the brutality in the world around him. But he was pretty damn sure that Sarah wasn't used to having her life threatened with a gun pointed at her head, and he hated that some doped-up asshole had changed all that for her. He stopped right in front of the knees she'd pressed so primly together, and it was harder than hell not to push them apart so he could step even closer.
You ready to get out of here?
He asked. She nodded eagerly, her expression grateful that she was finally being released.
Yes. Are you done with me?
He allowed a sexy smile to curve his lips. Touching his fingers under her chin, he tipped her face up so he was looking directly into her wide eyes.
Sweet, sweet Sarah. What a silly question,
he chastised in a soft murmur so only she could hear.
You should know by now that I'm not even close to being done with you.
Chapter 2. Sarah stared into Levi's light green eyes, mesmerized by the way they gradually darkened with desire. With nothing more than his gentle touch, he'd managed to diffuse her anxiety, but his softly spoken words, "I'm not even close to being done with you," made her all too aware of him as a man, a sexy, gorgeous man who'd literally saved her life. Thank you. She whispered, knowing things could have ended very differently tonight if he hadn't stopped by the store.
For?
He asked as he let his hand fall away. Protecting me. The only man who'd ever made her feel safe had been her father, and as a child, she'd been devastated when he'd died. The foster home she'd lived in had taught her that the only person she could trust and rely on was herself, and the men she'd allowed into her life over the years since had only reinforced that realization.
I'm just glad that I was here when it all went down,
he said in a low, gruff voice. Me too, she admitted. She shuddered to think what might have happened if she'd been alone.
Kincaid!
Nick called out impatiently, causing Levi to look over his shoulder at his partner, who was standing just inside the store's double doors.
Get your ass out here! The EMT can't leave or sign off on your release until they examine you. Be right there.
Levi glanced back at Sarah and rolled his eyes, his gaze filled with annoyance.
He's such a pain in the ass.
She laughed, then grew more serious. I'm going to have to agree with him. You really need to make sure that you're okay.
The shot probably caused nothing more than a bruise.
He grumbled like a typical man, even as he gingerly touched the area where the bullet was still lodged in his vest.
Then it shouldn't be an issue for you to let the paramedic look you over, she insisted. And it would make me feel better, too.
He tipped his head to the side, looking adorably boyish instead of like the badass cop he'd just been.
Since you're now off the clock, care to accompany me out to the ambulance?
Sure.
It was the least she could do for him, but before she could slide off the stool, he moved closer, keeping her in place.
Don't think you're off the hook,
he said, his voice low and husky as he slowly dragged his heated gaze from her mouth back up to her eyes.
I haven't forgotten that you still owe me an answer.
She'd only known Levi for a few weeks, but it was enough time to realize that he wasn't a man who missed much or let things go easily, so it didn't surprise Sarah that he'd given her a little reminder of the date he'd asked her out on. He'd certainly given her a persuasive argument when she'd questioned his interest in her, but did she really want to get involved with Levi in any way when she was going to leave Chicago in a few weeks? The woman who was insanely attracted to him was jumping up and down and yelling, "Yes!" while the more practical, cautious side was quick to remind her that she didn't need the complication of having any man in her life right now. Her ex, Dylan, was complication enough. After letting the graveyard shift know that she was leaving, she grabbed her purse and followed Levi outside to the ambulance, where an EMT was waiting for him. Not wanting to get in the way, Sarah stood off to the side while the paramedic asked him to remove his vest and shirt so he could get a better look at the bullet's point of impact. Levi took off the utility belt around his waist that held his handcuffs, baton, and other equipment, then removed the heavy outer armor that had protected him from the suspect's bullet. He unbuttoned his uniform shirt and shrugged it off. Underneath, he wore a navy blue t-shirt, and when he stripped it over his head, Sarah found herself way too captivated with how freaking hot he looked half naked. He was solidly built, with broad shoulders and muscled arms, and his tight, defined abs were testament to regular workouts. Holy smokes. If she thought he looked sexy and attractive in his uniform, he was devastatingly, breathtakingly gorgeous out of only half of it. She was in complete and utter awe, until her gaze skimmed over the large bruise already forming on his ribcage. The area was swollen and discolored in a combination of red, blue, and purple hues, and when the technician gently touched the contusion, Levi winced and swore, low and harsh. The guy tending to him glanced up at Levi.
"I need you to try and take a deep breath."
Levi attempted to fill his lungs with air, but instead expelled an agonizing groan.
"Shit, that fucking hurts."
He grimaced and clenched his jaw, and Sarah felt his pain, along with a jolt of guilt. It was difficult not to feel distressed, since Levi had been shot because he'd stopped by the store to visit her.
"I thought taking off the vest would relieve some of the pressure," he grumbled, his brows furrowing into a deeper line. "But now it feels worse, and especially when I inhale."
The EMT frowned.
"Yeah, I'm pretty sure you've got a cracked or fractured rib," he said as he wrapped a blood pressure cuff around Levi's upper arm to get his vitals. "But hey, on a positive note, you're still alive."
Levi chuckled, but Sarah didn't find the joke the least bit funny, especially when he moaned again as he pressed a hand to his side, his features etched in unmistakable pain. She shifted anxiously on her feet, feeling helpless because there was nothing she could do while he was in such obvious misery. Nick strolled up to the group.
"So, is Iron Man going to survive?"
"Probably,"
the EMT said as he jotted down notes on a form attached to a clipboard.
"But we need to take him to the hospital for x-rays and to have a doctor thoroughly examine him, just to make sure there's nothing going on internally. The impact of the bullet hit pretty close to some vital organs. So let's get you up into the ambulance and on your way."
Sarah's worry increased, but she bit her bottom lip and remained silent, not wanting her presence to disturb anyone in any way. Levi needed a doctor, and she didn't want to distract anyone from that. He gave the paramedic a perturbed look.
"Do I have to go by ambulance?"
he asked, casting a quick glance at Sarah. She felt her face warm at that direct look. Levi obviously hadn't forgotten her presence. After a lingering moment, Levi shifted his gaze back to the paramedic.
"Can't Nick take me to the hospital?"
"No,"
the EMT replied with a serious shake of his head.
"Your blood pressure is a bit high, and while it's probably normal considering what you just went through, I want you monitored until you're under a doctor's care."
"Come on, Kincaid,"
Nick said in a humorous voice.
"Be a big boy and behave."
Levi gave his partner the finger, and Nick just laughed it off. When Levi stood up and slowly straightened so he could climb into the back of the ambulance, Sarah made a split-second decision, despite how late at night it was, not to mention how foolish it was to allow herself to get further emotionally involved with this man.
"Can I go with him?"
she asked. The surprise and genuine pleasure that lit up Levi's face when he looked at her was well worth her spontaneous request. Then again, it wasn't as though she had anything or anyone waiting for her back at the motel, so why not spend a few extra hours with the man who'd just saved her life? She justified her rationale, knowing too well her actions weren't motivated by gratitude as much as concern. Once she was certain he hadn't suffered any internal injuries, she would head back to her place and try to forget about Levi Kincaid. Try being the operative word. The EMT shrugged.
Sure, you can come with, as long as the patient doesn't mind.
Nope, I don't mind at all,
Levi said on a soft, sexy drawl that sent crazy swirls of sensual heat spiraling down through her belly.
Besides, I might need someone to hold my hand while the doctor pokes and prods me.
He was such a rogue, but she couldn't stop the smile that touched her lips. Hand-holding she could handle, but she swore that was all Levi Kincaid was getting out of her. As soon as Levi arrived at the hospital, he was whisked away for a multitude of tests, leaving Sarah to worry and pace out in the waiting room by herself. She wanted to ask for an update, but since she wasn't family, she knew there was no way anyone would release any kind of information to her, which left her biting her thumbnail as she wore a back-and-forth path through the industrial-strength carpeting. Nearly an hour later, which seemed like a lifetime, a nurse came out and approached her.
"Are you Sarah Robbins?"
"Yes," she replied anxiously. The other woman smiled, obviously used to dealing with nervous visitors.
"Levi's tests are complete, and he's been assigned a private room."
Sarah exhaled a relieved breath.
"So he's okay?"
"For now, he seems fine," the nurse said, not confirming or denying anything.
"The doctor will know more as soon as he has the chance to go over the test results, which should be soon."
"Can I see him?" Sarah asked, unable to stand waiting in the lounge any longer. The nurse nodded, her eyes sparkling with amusement.
"Actually, he sent me out here to get you, so follow me and I'll take you to his room."
Sarah trailed behind the woman as they walked past the emergency room triage and down a corridor lined with numbered rooms. The nurse stopped at a door marked with a number 8.
"He's right inside," she said,
then turned around and walked back toward the ER. Sarah pushed the door open and tentatively stepped into the small room, the rubber on the bottom of her tennis shoes letting out a tiny squeak on the linoleum floor. Levi glanced in her direction with an irritable scowl, but as soon as he realized that it was her, an undeniably pleased smile lit up his face, causing her heart to race a bit faster and making her weak in the knees. From the very first night she'd met him, the man had had that kind of bone-melting effect on her, and it was unlike anything she'd ever experienced. He also made her want to throw caution and common sense to the wind, so just one time she could experience being the sole focus of Levi's affection and attention. The sensual thought made her shiver as she moved toward him. He was sitting up in bed, and she took in the hospital gown he still wore, which left his legs bare from the knees down, and, yeah, she looked. His calves were nice and toned, and she couldn't believe she was even thinking this, but even his feet were sexy.
"What was the grumpy look for when I walked in?" she asked as she rounded his bed to the other side.
There were 2 chairs situated there for visitors, but she decided to stand. She didn't intend to stay long. As soon as she was assured he was all right, she planned to leave.
"Oh, you saw that?"
he asked with a small smirk.
"I thought you were the nurse coming back for more blood tests, and I was hoping to scare her off."
She laughed.
"They don't seem easily intimidated around here."
"It was worth a try,"
he said. Then his expression turned serious as he met her gaze.
"You stayed,"
he said, the low, husky tone of his voice stroking along her body like a caress.
"I wasn't sure you'd stick around once they admitted me for the tests."
"You took a bullet for me,"
she pointed out, just in case he'd forgotten that not-so-little detail in tonight's excitement.
"I wasn't going to leave without knowing you were okay."
"I appreciate it."
He pushed his fingers through his dark blonde hair, which only tousled the thick strands even more. As he lowered his hand, his IV tubing got tangled around another cord that tugged at an electrode patch attached to his chest. The wires pulled taut, causing his gown to slip down a few inches, and he released an annoyed growl. "Hold on." Before his frustration got the better of him, Sarah moved closer and separated the cables so he didn't rip the IV out of his hand or disengage the machine monitoring his pulse and heartbeat. "There you go."
"Thank you," he muttered. "Jesus, I don't know why they need to have me hooked up to all this crap."
He settled back against the raised mattress, his expression surly.
"They even took 6 vials of my blood,"
he added, showing her the small bandage on the inside of his arm. God, he was a terrible patient, and it took effort for Sarah not to laugh at his cranky disposition.
"I'm sorry I wasn't there to hold your hand while they stuck that big, bad needle into your arm," she teased.
His grumpiness vanished as a very sly look flitted across his features.
"It's not too late to make up for that. You can hold my hand now,"
he dared, and extended his right hand toward her. There was no doubt in Sarah's mind that he was goading her to touch him, and hand-holding, as innocent as it seemed, would be deliberate and intimate contact between them. Still, she wasn't about to let him win the challenge, and she reached out and settled her hand in his much larger, warmer one. He curled his fingers around hers, capturing her in more ways than one. He gently skimmed his thumb across her knuckles, the caress making her envision what it would feel like to have that same finger grazing over her taut, sensitive nipple, which was incredibly stupid of her to even imagine, considering the mere thought made the tips of her breasts tingle and peak against her cotton t-shirt. Levi's gaze lowered to her chest for a few lingering seconds to enjoy her telling reaction to him, then gradually lifted back up to her face again. There was no missing the heat building behind his gaze, which matched the one smoldering in her belly.
"So, I think you've had more than enough time to think about the question I asked you back at the store before we were rudely interrupted by a robber," he said, injecting humor into his voice. "Are you finally going to say yes to a date and put me out of my misery? And before you answer that, don't forget, I did take a bullet to protect you."
The man was utterly shameless, using her gratitude against her, and it took effort for her not to laugh out loud, because despite everything, she found him so damn charming.
"Are you seriously going to use the I took a bullet for you card and blackmail me?"
"Yes,"
he replied unrepentantly, while trying to hide his own smile.
"Are you seriously going to say no again and completely devastate me?"
More than anything, she wanted to give him the answer he desired. Hell, it was what she wanted, too. Everything about Levi Kincaid was intriguing and tempting, and she couldn't remember the last time, if ever, a man had made her feel so desirable and, yes, special. And God, she was so tired of being alone and lonely every day, except for the time she spent at work. But she didn't have a great track record when it came to the male gender. She'd been burned badly, twice, because she'd made the mistake of trusting a few jerks she'd thought were good guys. Too many times she'd gotten complacent and let herself be lulled into a false sense of security, starting with her own family, to a specific foster home, to the guys she'd dated, only to end up with broken promises that had chipped away at her heart. It was a repetitive story in her life, and a painful pattern she wanted so badly to break. If she weren't on the run from a controlling ex-boyfriend, if she didn't have plans to leave town soon, it would be so easy to fall for a man like Levi. But unfortunately, that wasn't her reality. But she could accept the date, as long as he understood a few things first. She shifted on her feet, and without thinking, she ran her tongue across her bottom lip before speaking. He released a low, sexy groan as his gaze zeroed in on her mouth, and the awareness in the small room thickened.
"Are you trying to deliberately tempt me with what I can't have?"
The tone of his voice was hungry in a way that had nothing to do with food and everything to do with her.
"What?"
She tried to make sense of his words, and when his question finally registered, he wanted her mouth, she quickly shook her head. No, she rushed to say, as a warm flush swept across her cheeks. I wasn't trying to tempt you at all. A slow, sensual smile eased across his lips.
Just for the record, everything about you tempts me, he murmured.
There went those weak knees again. Before they could get any more off track with their conversation, Sarah said what was on her mind. Levi, I need you to know that I'm not looking for anything serious right now.
Fair enough,
he said as his thumb started rubbing softly along the back of the hand he was still holding.
I'm not asking for a lifetime commitment either, just a simple, casual night out with you. We can see where it goes from there.
If I agree to a date, it will be a one-time deal, Levi, she told him as she tried to nonchalantly extricate her hand from his. He wouldn't let her go, and instead grinned confidently.
Then I'll just have to do my damnedest to change your mind.
She refrained, just barely, from rolling her eyes at him. The man was persistent to a fault, even a little arrogant, and his determination wasn't worth arguing over. Okay, fine. Sunday evening, you can take me out on a date.
See?
Triumph deepened his tone.
That wasn't so hard, was it?
This time, she did roll her eyes at him. You wore down my resistance.
I knew I would.
He winked at her.
If you'll give me your address, I'll pick you up at your place at 5 p.m.
A flash of panic surged through her when she thought about him arriving at the seedy, rundown motel where she was staying temporarily. I'll meet you at the restaurant. She didn't want to deal with the shame and humiliation of having to explain her living situation.
You agreed to a date, not a meet and greet,
he said as he gave her hand a squeeze.
I'm picking you up.
God, the man was so stubborn and tenacious, so she gave him the best compromise she'd allow. Then pick me up at the store. I'll be there by 5. He frowned at her in a way that told Sarah he was analyzing her unusual reaction and was trying to figure out a way around her request, which she refused to allow. It's a deal breaker, Levi. Her tone was adamant. Pick me up at the store or no date. You can't have everything your way. The corner of his mouth twitched with humor, but he finally relented.
Fine, you win. This time.
Loud male voices drifted into the room from the corridor outside, and Sarah watched as a sudden look of irritation passed across his features.
Shit,
he muttered beneath his breath. She had no idea what had caused the change in his demeanor. What's wrong? The line of his jaw tensed.
You'll see in 3, 2, 1.
Sarah literally jumped when two big, good-looking men unexpectedly barged into the room, the older-looking one of the two speaking as they advanced toward Levi's hospital bed.
Jesus Christ, Levi!
The guy bellowed angrily.
You were fucking shot, and you didn't think to call one of your brothers to let us know?
Oh God, his brothers. And here she was, holding Levi's hand like she was his girlfriend or someone he was intimately involved with. She tugged her fingers out of his grasp, hard enough that he was forced to let her go, but the other man with sleeves of tattoos wrapping around both muscled arms noticed and smirked.
Calm down, Clay,
Levi said, back to being grumpy. He glared at both brothers as they stopped on the other side of his bed.
The bullet hit my vest and it wasn't life-threatening. I'm just here for some routine testing before they'll release me.
The man named Clay glanced at Sarah, and there was no denying the quick spark of curiosity in his gaze before he pinned his brother with a direct and concerned look.
Well, your partner thought it was important enough to call us.
That bit of information seemed to annoy Levi even more. He clearly didn't like being coddled by anyone.
I have a fractured rib, but other than that, I'm fine, he insisted, even though the doctor had yet to come into the room to go over his test results. Or at least I was, until you two came charging in here.
The tattooed guy, who looked like a total bad boy, who wasn't the least bit put off by Levi's gruff demeanor, merely grinned at his brother.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, whatever we interrupted,
he said,
not sounding the least bit contrite. In fact, Sarah was certain he was deliberately goading Levi, and she found herself suddenly fascinated by the three brothers who clearly had very different dispositions. The bad boy brother took in Levi's hospital gown and bare legs, that provoking smirk reappearing.
"Nice dress, by the way," he teased, "though next time you might want to shave your legs."
Levi narrowed his gaze at his brother.
"Don't be a dick, Mason."
There was a distinct warning note in his voice, but Mason only seemed amused by Levi's threatening tone.
"Knock it off, Mason,"
Clay said, obviously the peacekeeper in the family, before settling his frown back on Levi.
"I'm glad you're okay, but you still should have called us. I nearly had a heart attack when Nick's first words were Levi's been shot before he clarified that you were wearing your bulletproof vest."
"Got it,"
Levi said, finally relenting.
"Won't happen again." "So are you going to introduce us to your..."
Mason let the sentence trail off, waiting for either Levi or Sarah to fill in the missing word.
"Friend," she said quickly, and since they were on opposite sides of Levi's bed, she gave both brothers a friendly wave. "I'm Sarah, and Levi was at the convenience store where I work when I was held up by an armed robber. I'm here just to make sure that he's truly okay before I head home."
Clay's gaze was filled with understanding, but Mason's glance was much more inquisitive, and it was that small smile on his face that made her wonder what exactly he was thinking. Thankfully, neither one of them asked her any other questions. Instead,